This is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016. Heroes of the Storm sees big changes in and outside of the Nexus, several content creators meet at a Legion summit, and I bring the thunder to my interview with the Heroes Forge podcast. This is episode 197.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pandaren and Mogu, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, thanks as always for listening, and we start the show as it usually starts, with the rolling restart, otherwise known as Ro rants and raves about something for a few minutes. This week is no different, and believe it or not, I'm going to talk about World of Warcraft, even though I'm technically not subbed right now and just playing the beta. Specifically, though, I do want to talk about the development of the Legion expansion and professions. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, you probably noticed a little bit of an exchange between myself and my extended maintenance co-host Alt a couple days ago, and, well, there was plenty of blood. Well, rather, plenty of talk about blood. In a nutshell, there is an item right now in Legion called the Blood of Sargeras. It's a rare key material needed for a multitude of recipes in several professions. We've seen this before with Frozen Orbs, Fell Blood, Spirits of Harmony, and so on. Nothing really new here so far, including the fact that Blood of Sargeras is currently designed to be bind on pickup. Now, this normally wouldn't be a big deal, especially considering similar rare crafting mats have also been bind on pickup at least at the launch of those expansions. However, the primary way that you get Blood of Sargeras is from gathering professions, skinning, mining, and herbalism. Now what this means is if you have two crafting professions on one character, you're going to be very restricted in how you acquire blood. Basically, it's fishing and some quest rewards that offer blood, but that's about it. See, unlike Mists of Pandaria with the Spirits of Harmony, there aren't going to be motes of blood that you can get as drops off of mobs, which is why it was okay for Spirits of Harmony to be bind on pickup. And double crafters aren't the only ones in a little bit of a bind from this design, pun intended. If you have two gathering professions on one character, you're going to be able to farm blood just fine, except you really won't have anything to use it on outside of selling it to an NPC vendor for 1 gold and 25 silver. And I'm pretty sure that the value of these things are worth more than 1 gold and 25 silver. The way the item's currently designed, the optimal thing to do here would be to have a character with one gathering profession to get the blood, and one crafting profession to use the blood. For a lot of you, that may not be a big deal at all. For double crafters, though, it might mean having to sacrifice rare crafting recipes that they've obtained over the past several years of playing the game. Now, I've heard arguments on both sides about this. If you follow Twitter, you already know how I feel. Some people feel that a compromise to this would be to make Blood of Sargeras bind on account, to which others reply that making such a change would devalue professions, although I don't really quite follow that logic. One of the key things that the dev team is trying to do this time around is make professions more meaningful, and that includes the artisan fantasy. I kind of get that. Does everyone want that? No, but the dev team does, and I respect that. However, it feels like if you don't run one crafting and one gathering profession, you're going to be doing it wrong. Double crafting or double gathering is clearly suboptimal for a lot of people in this scenario. And that's weird because just days ago, the dev team shuffled around class talents with the intention of making it feel less like there's any one optimal build of talents to use. Now, I feel like that philosophy of playing what you want should be reinforced not just in our class design, but in how we approach crafting and gathering as well. In my opinion, there's a difference between choice and an illusion of choice, and I feel like with the way the Blood of Sargeras is set up right now, we're seeing an illusion of choice with crafting and gathering in Legion. Now, it's entirely okay to disagree with me. I admit I may be in the vocal minority on this one. And, of course, as always, beta is beta. Who knows what the status quo will be when Legion launches in a little over 2 months. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can send me an email at realmpodcast@gmail.com or, you know, send me a tweet. Let me know what you think about this whole situation. Meanwhile, there's plenty of other news to cover, but you know how we do it here. It's time to quickly go around the world of Warcraft and more in 80 seconds. Today is a big day in the Nexus as ranked play gets a major overhaul in Heroes of the Storm and unranked draft becomes available outside of league matches. In addition to that, the Guardian of Tirisfal himself joins the roster as the Specialist Medivh becomes available for purchase. Meanwhile, Cloud9 announced the dissolution of their Heroes of the Storm team, four members of whom were a part of the championship roster last year at BlizzCon. Several other Heroes teams are seeing significant roster shuffling at this time as well. Last week, former Diablo 3 director and WoW game designer Jay Wilson announced his departure from Blizzard to pursue a career in writing. Well-known player Tej secured his second Hearthstone championship in as many years this past weekend at the European Spring Championship and will be going to BlizzCon later this year. A Legion summit of content creators at the Blizzard campus last week resulted in the reveal of an upcoming animated series called Harbingers. Harbingers will expand on the lore of Illidan Stormrage and other supporting characters in Legion in a similar way that Lords of War did so for Warlords of Draenor. The team behind the now-retired WoW private server Nestaurius met with key members of the WoW development team last week. The development team expressed a desire to have legacy WoW servers, though no official action has been announced in making such servers a reality. And finally, as of the recording of this podcast, the Warcraft movie has earned over $24 million during its opening weekend in the United States and over $280 million worldwide. And that's your news. I'll be back with this week's Spotlight interview after we find out what Ben and Eludra are up to this week on Battle Pets.
Eludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Seriously, Ben? It's going to work. We'll make everything ourselves, and it'll be pure profit.
Look, I told you, I don't know how to make good homemade tacos.
Okay, well, first off, we need to get in there while the getting is good. Besides, I totally know how to make them. I have a family recipe.
Okay, is this even coming from?
I've been watching a lot of this show on the Food Network about taco trucks, and I really think it looks like fun. So we can bring that to Azeroth with the food.
Okay, but... what does this have to do with battle pets?
Really, Ben?
Okay, while Eludria is trying to shoehorn some luck... oh, no! Ew! make sure to check out episode 88 of Battle Pets, Tacos! Where we talk about news, demons, an annoying crow, your reading abilities and ours, and soggy closets.
Okay, Ben, how about this? Instead of a taco truck, we'll use some of those mounts that do the the thing with the stat swaps, but they're going out, so...
That was last expansion. No.
Okay, well, what about the mammoths? You see them in Ice Age, Ben. That is a lot of tacos, and
no. No, plus copyright infringement.
We could claim it's satire!
There are a little over 50 characters that make up the Heroes of the Storm roster as of this recording, and with just a year since the official launch, I'm sure that's only the tip of the iceberg. Being, in my opinion, one of the most unique Heroes podcasts out there, the Heroes Forge puts less emphasis on what is and more focus on what could be. The co-hosts have brainstormed concepts including the Innkeeper from Hearthstone, Phoenix from StarCraft, multiple Warcraft characters, and perhaps most importantly, Deckard Cain. With that said, I'm ready to, well, stay a while and listen to my guests this week. They are Jeff Reynolds and Kristen Ashton. Welcome to the show, you two. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, doing wonderful today. How's it going with you?
It's going great. And, you know, one thing I want to say just off the top before we even get to the origin of your show is one thing that I like about you guys when you do your episode is you two have the most energy of almost any podcast that I listen to. I just love the energy that you bring and just the excitement and enthusiasm that you have for Heroes of the Storm. It is practically infectious.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's infectious to work with Kristen because she is so positive, and I tell her that week after week. I mean, I've watched some of her streams that she does on Twitch, and I compliment her constantly because she is so positive no matter what's happening. So that, I mean, happiness is so infectious, especially when it comes to talking about something that you really care about, like Heroes, right, Kristen?
Exactly. And don't discount yourself, Jeff. I mean, when we first met, that was at BlizzCon last year, and just smiles, all laughs. Great, great time was had. And I think that's what eventually led to this partnership.
It's great.
It's a partnership that's really worked out for you guys. And so you mentioned that your first meeting in person was at BlizzCon. So I imagine, was that place and time the genesis of Heroes Forge, Kristen?
It was. wasn't actually. It was more just at an A-Move TV meetup. We were mingling. Jeff and I started talking. His friend came over. We were having a great time. And then we just went our separate ways. We ran into one another a few more times that weekend, but that was really it until Jeff reached out to me at the beginning of the year to be a guest on Heroes Forge. We forged a hero together. I guess that was kind of the audition process because he reached out to me not too long after and asked if I would come on as a permanent co-host.
Well, it's definitely worked out for you guys. Jeff, for those unfamiliar with the format of the show, can you talk a little bit about what exactly you two do on a week-to-week basis on Heroes Forge?
Absolutely. So Heroes Forge is a little bit different than any of the other Heroes of the Storm podcasts that listeners might listen to. What we do every week is we take a character from the Blizzard universe and kind of theory craft or imagine what that character would look like if it was implemented into Heroes of the Storm. We start off by talking about the character's trait in the game, and Kristen will build an entire kit for the character that we choose. I build an entire kit, and we just banter back and forth. We go through the basic abilities, which are totally fun, and you know, and we try to make it as, you know, cohesive and actual game worthy as we can. And then we get into heroics, and that's where we really have a blast coming up with ideas that may be OP but awesome. And you know, we always say that it's our job to come up with the fun stuff, and we let the professionals come up with all the numbers and all the, you know, number crunching for what these abilities would actually do. But we take the backstory of this character and the universe they live in and try to bring them into the Nexus.
Kristen, when it comes to these ideas, I mean, you guys have had some really wacky ones. The one that intrigued me the most just recently was a blood imp from Hearthstone. That's something that was so out of right field, I didn't even expect anything like that. I'm just curious, where do your ideas come from?
Well, in the beginning, it was mostly just the two of us. We'd go back and forth week to week choosing a hero. But since it's grown, the community now is really choosing what we do, because the blood imp, for instance, somebody forged an entire blood imp and sent it in. And we went and with that because, you know, like they had told us, sometimes you don't want to see heroes in the Nexus.
So are you going mainly with just community concepts and ideas going forward? Are you going to kind of mix it up and just have once in a while it'll be your idea, once in a while you'll just throw a dart at the community board and see what you get?
It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're correct. We do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and mostly we do stuff that's going to be entertaining.
I'm wondering how each of you feel about just the state of the game, in particular, you know, going about what you guys talk about. You guys talk about the heroes themselves, the rosters, so not so much as far as game mechanics go and game balance. I'm just wondering how you guys feel about the current state of the roster, the rate of new heroes being released. Is the roster diverse enough? Is there anything when it comes to new content releases that you think might be lacking, or are there things that they're just hitting the nail on the head with? Jeff, how do you feel about the current state of the Heroes roster?
I think first off, I have to give Blizzard some serious credit, because they have kept to their hero release schedule ever since they set it from the beginning. I mean, over a year, we've been seeing a new hero every 3 to 4, sometimes 5 weeks, you know, which is outstanding. I can't imagine how much time and effort goes into making these heroes, balancing these heroes, and, you know, involving their entire lore inside of what they do. That being said, I think the Heroes roster right now is looking fantastic. I mean, with the upcoming implementation of Medivh and Chromie, I mean, I think that it is really World of Warcraft heavy, and I think that that's inevitable because that universe is massive. I mean, there is so much inside of that universe, and even our show tends to, you know, do a Warcraft hero a little more often, only because those are the heroes that people are most familiar with that play Heroes of the Storm, I believe. Right. So, you know, we get to those characters a lot. I think the character that stands out to me probably the most is Cho'Gall. And I think it was because the moment I was at BlizzCon, and I mean, like you said, all balancing and, you know, play worthiness aside, when I was there and they announced that they wanted Cho'Gall to be that raid boss, to be the raid boss that you battle and to feel like a raid boss inside of the Nexus. And then I got to play him. And now even when I play him, I think that they have accomplished that. I think that it is such a unique idea to have two people play one character and one person play three Vikings on the other end of it. That's what Blizzard does. And I hope that in the future, we see more awesomely unique characters that do things like Cho'Gall and the Lost Vikings and Abathur. And they have those really cool, you know, they have all those weird, cool things that other MOBAs don't have. Kristen, what do you think? Do you think that that's the kind of thing that drives Heroes of the Storm?
I would say so. The uniqueness, certainly also the shared XP. And it's kind of, it feels like that introductory MOBA where it's easy to learn. You get it. You now know what MOBAs are, but very, very hard to master.
Right.
Absolutely. And I mean, I just really appreciate how the dev team seems to think outside the box, exactly what you're talking about with heroes like Cho'Gall, Lost Vikings, Abathur, Murky even. In particular, for me, it seems to be the whole concept of specialist heroes. It seems to be where they really just kind of cut loose and go for really wacky ideas. Now, I noticed that specialist heroes tend to be, you know, pretty diverse and wacky and crazy. Do you think that some of that can transfer over to other roles? Because one thing I noticed just personally when I play heroes is that I hardly ever play warriors because warriors feel boring to me.
Oh, interesting. So not even a more damage-heavy warrior like Sonya.
I just never stick around with them that long because, I don't know, their mechanics don't seem all that appealing to me. I guess I tend to be pulled to, like, the ones that kind of break the rules, as it were. Even some of the assassins do, like, some really crazy stuff. Li Ming, obviously, but then everyone plays Li Ming nowadays. but how do you guys feel about that? Do you think that warriors and even supports could use a little more love as far as their just overall kit design and diversity? Or is it just me?
I think the general consensus of the community is that yes, especially with the supports. But personally, I think our individual personalities have a lot to do with how we connect with the different heroes. Mm. Like for me, for instance, with warriors, I love warriors because it gives me the ability to survive my inability to not back down from a fight. I will chase somebody to the end. And as an assassin or specialist, that usually winds up in more deaths than I'm more than happy to admit. But as a warrior...
Are you that player that tries to chase down Tracer?
yes.
It's okay. I've done similar things myself. I've even chased down people playing Lili. So I admit... You're not the only one who has a tendency to want to just get that kill. Getting a kill as a support sometimes just feels so hideously wonderful. It's great. I'm just wondering what's coming up next, not only for Heroes of the Storm, but your show. You guys keep on surprising me with some of the ideas that you're bringing up. Is there any chance that I can get a preview of what listeners might get to hear Forged in the next week or two?
Ah, that's really good. You know, what Kristen and I do is we basically go back and forth, and we go back and forth picking the heroes that we're going to see forged. I think a little bit of a hint to you is we haven't done a StarCraft character in quite some time. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the StarCraft roster, and we're kind of seeing who fits in, and we've gotten a ton of, community feedback saying, you know, we want these StarCraft characters being on the show. And so I think the hint I can give you is that StarCraft is in our near future for sure, but in the long distance blue sky future, we also want to start forging battlegrounds. We want to start bringing people, you know, people send us ideas. Another thing that sets Heroes apart from any of the other MOBAs out there is the battlegrounds and the battleground objectives. And, you know, we want to implement those Blizzard universes into more battlegrounds. Some of the best ones are the Diablo themed battlegrounds, right? When you're out there fighting with the forces of heaven and hell, and you're right alongside the angels and they're right alongside the demons and you're fighting each other. I mean, that is it's nerdy, but it's awesome. I mean, I love that. And so what if there was a StarCraft map? What if there was an Overwatch map? I think that would be so cool, you know? And so that's in our blue sky future. And we want to get to that point where we're forging battlegrounds and, you know, making those come to life in our imaginations too.
Well, just really quick, since you bring it up, I mean, let's talk about that just really briefly here. Kristen, when it comes to battlegrounds, if you two were to forge a new battleground for Heroes of the Storm, for you, what is the first battleground that comes to mind? From what universe would you like to see a new battleground for us to brawl in?
Universe, I would like to see StarCraft. Stylistically, it would be such a change from the ones we have now. Mechanically, capture the flag.
Mm. Ooh.
So just for people who aren't too familiar with the whole concept, how would Capture the Flag be different from what we're currently doing?
Well, Capture the Flag would probably be based on the entire idea that you could get the objective back from the enemy team. So it would be one of those maps I like to envision where it forces fights. And I loved Haunted Mines. I loved it. It was short and it was vicious mm-hmm. because you had to fight. And I really want to see something like that again. So I would like an objective that could be passed around.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to Haunted Mines, I was actually one of the few people who liked that map, and I was sad to see it go away. People may send me emails about that.
Oh, don't worry, I hear the hate all the time.
I'm also that guy who likes Garden of Terror, so go figure.
Oh. See, I'm on the Haunted Mines train, but, you know, Garden of Terror, not so much, but I'm on the Haunted Mines train, definitely.
But I'll throw out there, Garden of Terror wouldn't be so bad, I think, if only the game times were shorter. But usually if it's Garden of Terror, I know it's going to be a long one. And sometimes I just don't want a long game.
Yeah, and those long games can be brutal sometimes. And just, Kristen, as you're envisioning Capture the Flag, I'm having a Heroes Forge moment over here where I'm just coming up with something off the top of my head. I'm thinking, if there was an Overwatch map, talk about something that would turn the way the game looks upside down. So if there was an Overwatch map and the objective was exactly how it is in some of the modes you play in Overwatch, where there is one point that activates and you need to stand on it in order to capture it. Once it's captured by your team, you have to kind of fend off other teammates while it's captured and gain the percentage to, you know, win the battle. And maybe it even goes rounds like Overwatch. You know, we saw with Tracer when Tracer came into the game that they weren't afraid to bring a character from Overwatch in exactly as it is. Well, what's stopping them from doing that with the map?
Kind of like Sky Temple, but a Sky Temple where the shrines are always on.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like it. You know, I was just thinking, Kristen, you mentioned StarCraft, and a StarCraft battleground I would love to see is one that takes place on the planet Char. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the mission mode of StarCraft 2, but one of the very early missions of Wings of Liberty, I think, or actually near the end of Wings of Liberty, if I'm not mistaken, was this one on Char where the lava would go up and down every few minutes or so, and it would alter basically the different paths the battleground had during the fight. So something that like changed the map from being where the lanes are set up one way to where the lanes are set up another way, and it causes you to have to think on the fly as far as your team movement and rotations, I think would be really interesting.
Oh, too cool of an idea. That's so awesome.
Well, before we wrap up, I have a small favor. I don't expect this favor to necessarily be granted anytime soon, but there's one hero that I would like to see in the Heroes Forge sometime in the future, and I'm going to toss it at you really quick, just a basic theory and concept. You know, we were just talking about how or at least I was talking about how warriors don't seem exciting enough to me. Well, I have an idea for a warrior. One thing that they've talked about with a dev team when they talked about warriors is that along with just taking and soaking damage, warriors should have the ability to kind of dictate the battlefield. They can disrupt enemy movement and kind of shake things up. And I was wondering, are either of you familiar with the Throne of Thunder raid in World of Warcraft?
I don't think so. I played Warcraft through vanilla, basically, and a little bit into Burning Crusade. Is it after that?
It's well after that. It's during Mists of Pandaria. There is an end boss for the Throne of Thunder known as Lei Shen, the Thunder King. And his in that fight, he has a whole bunch of lightning-based abilities that basically required players to either group up in order to avoid damage being taken, or there'd be another ability where someone would be marked with this big lightning thing that's about to come down, and the damage would be splash damage that would be intense if it was dropped on one person, but shared if multiple people stood on that person and shared the damage. Basically, I would kind of see as Lei Shen, if you were to check out his fight and stuff, is someone who kind of dictates team positioning in team fights by using abilities that would require the other team to either move apart or stay together, depending on what telegraphed moves they see Lei Shen casting.
I like that. And I think we're going to be seeing that with Medivh here soon, kind of as an introductory with his polymorph.
Oh, yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, but we have this Slayer of Kings and Gods. Yeah, I think that would be pretty neat.
Yeah, consider it done. I mean, I'm looking at the pictures of Lei Shen now as we do this.
Oh, and yeah, he's awesome.
God,
incredible. And, you know,
another thing that Blizzard always talks about, and I was lucky enough to go to BlizzCon and listen to the Heroes of the Storm panel, and they talk about characters' silhouettes in the game. When you're in this battle, you're going back and forth, and you need to be able to find where you are, and you need to recognize other characters in the game quickly. And, you know, there are so many unique silhouettes in the game, like Diablo's silhouette or even Nova's silhouette on the opposite end of that. And I'm looking at Lei Shen, and I'm thinking, what an awesome, you know, silhouette to be able to recognize this character, big, bulking, you know, massive dude, and that has warrior written all over it, right, Kristen?
Oh, yes, I have no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I think he'd be an awesome addition to the game and just something for you two to toss around. So add it to what I'm sure is a very, very long list of heroes that you guys have in mind for the weeks to come. You know, it's just like I said, it's been a great pleasure having you guys on this week. You are definitely one of my favorite Heroes of the Storm podcasts because, like I said, your energy, your enthusiasm is infectious. You do things very differently, and it's a great listen to. So big two thumbs up from me. Kristen, could you tell my fellow listeners where, when, and how they can catch you guys?
Of course. Our show, getting tongue-tied here, our show, Heroes Forge, can be found 7 p.m. over at twitch.tv/amovetv on Sunday evenings, and that's 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Sounds good. And you are on Twitter as well, right, Jeff?
Yes, we are. We're Forge Heroes, so it's opposite of our name, not Heroes Forge, but Forge Heroes on Twitter. We also have a website. It's heroesforge.club. Over on the website, you can check out all of the past episodes that we've done. Like you said, we've forged characters from Warcraft, Diablo, Starcraft, Hearthstone, Overwatch, and I mean, a good, really good episode to listen into if you're just starting out on Heroes Forge to get your feet wet is the Lucio episode from Overwatch. I mean, there are some really crazy fun ideas in there. This is before Tracer was released, so we kind of just built a whole new kit for Lucio, and it was an absolute blast. So you can find us there too. And of course, if you want to send us your ideas about heroes you'd like to see on the show, you can always send us an email at contactheroesforge@gmail.com.
You read my mind on that last bit there, because I'm sure there are plenty of others that'd like to see what you two can forge together. Jeff and Kristen, thank you very much for being on the show. I look forward to the weeks to come and to see what many other heroes that you forge into the Nexus. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for asking us. It's been amazing.
Thanks again to Jeff and Kristen for being on the show this week. And now here's your roundup of some of the most recent Blizzard podcast news. All Things Azeroth will become the first World of Warcraft podcast to record 500 episodes this coming Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch the show at dawnforgelive.com. It's sure to be a special episode with a few surprises and a ton of loot. If you'd like a chance at one of six prize packages being given away for episode 500, all you have to do is check out the episode 500 post at allthingsazeroth.com, where you'll find multiple ways that you can enter. Prizes include Funko Pop Warcraft figures, WoW Game Time, legendary lanyards, books, and much more. You have until this Sunday to enter. Follow at allthingsaz on Twitter for the latest updates on this upcoming milestone show. Earlier this week, I was made aware of a new Heroes of the Storm podcast, and with all the changes happening in the Nexus, now is a good time as any to check it out. The show's name is Heroes Radio, and you can find it at soundcloud.com. I haven't had a chance to listen to this podcast just yet, but hosts David and Ray are already 15 episodes into their run, so there's plenty of content there for you to listen to and decide if the show is right for you. In fact, if you're listening to this early on Tuesday, you can check out their Season 1 livestream event at twitch.tv/DavidTwiceTV, taking place later today. The Legion Summit I mentioned earlier in the show consisted mainly of some of the most popular Warcraft streamers on Twitch, but a few podcasters were on hand as well. In particular, I encourage you to check out the feeds for both Final Boss and The Starting Zone, as both Bay and Mick were able to secure multiple interviews with members of the WoW dev team. You can find Final Boss at finalboss.tv and check out The Starting Zone at thestartingzone.com. If you've been following this show for a while, you might remember me talking about a little podcast called Tides of Lore. Well, it had a few episodes and then kind of vanished. Some podcasts fade away, but legends never die. And the crew behind Tides of Lore is giving the WoW podcast thing another go with a show called Legend Style. You can follow Legend Style on Twitter at legends_style and catch their show live on twitch.tv/thedoctorlegend on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also catch the podcast after the fact at soundcloud.com/legendsanonymous. Between the summer regionals, the dissolution of Cloud9, the one-year anniversary of Heroes of the Storm, and this week's major update to the game, there is a veritable plethora of news to break down for some of the best podcasts in the Nexus. Among those you might want to consider listening to is Lords of the Storm. On episode 67, the crew talks about everything I mentioned, plus what the integration of Facebook may mean for the future of the game. On top of all that, you'll hear about a ton of giveaways the show is running in celebration of the game's anniversary. You can follow this show on Twitter at Lords of the Storm. Will, Ben, and Ginger are taking a break from the Saturday Morning WoW podcast until they're closer to the launch of Legion, but they go out in style for the summer by sharing their thoughts and reactions to the Warcraft movie. It should go without saying there are movie spoilers on this episode. It should also go without saying that if you somehow haven't seen the Warcraft movie yet, what the f*** are you waiting for? Follow the show on Twitter at SMW_podcast to keep track of when Saturday Morning WoW will return to your podcast app of choice. The Meeting Stone is hot out of the theater where the co-hosts saw the Warcraft movie. Spoiler warning, Mike and Brian loved it. But for a much more nuanced impression of the Warcraft movie, check out episode 78 of the Meeting Stone podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or themeetingstone.com. Still looking for a Heroes of the Storm podcast? Well, after taking a bit of a break, over the past week, Laura Lanya and Royal Light are back with not one, but two new episodes of The Core Report.
Hail, it's about time.
Damn right it's about time, Tychus. And that clip is twice as relevant if you listen to episode 12, which includes an interview with none other than Neil Kaplan, the voice actor behind Terran Marine Tychus Finley. Listen to this podcast in all the usual places and always at thecorereport.podbean.com. Lights, Camera, Azeroth was on the minds of the crew at Group Quest as they talked about the Nostarius meeting, Heroes of the Storm tournaments, and that Warcraft movie thing, and you can find it at thegroupquest.com. And finally, the Con Before the Storm Kickstarter campaign ends this Sunday afternoon with a 24-hour live stream event as the organizers make a final drive to raise money for the annual community party taking place in Anaheim the night before BlizzCon. The live stream can be found at twitch.tv/d20critgaming. If you're interested in backing the event, you can find the Kickstarter easily by following at ConBeforeStorm on Twitter. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and get ready for episode 200 of Realm Maintenance on Wednesday night. Yeah, I said episode 200, and you're probably wondering, wait a minute, Ro, this is episode 197. So, here's the deal. Episode 200 is going to obviously be a little something different than usual. And I'm actually recording and live streaming episode 200, or at least the majority of it, this Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/realmpodcast. Now, I'm going to keep the guests a surprise for the moment, but it's going to be pretty awesome. I have a great roundtable that's going to join me, and we're just going to spend some time talking about podcasting. Feel free to join me on Wednesday night, and if you miss it, don't worry. You'll hear the show on this feed in a few weeks. As always, thank you for downloading and listening. I'd like to give a big shout out to XRyutan, who is one of the most recent supporters of the show on Patreon. If you'd like to support what I'm doing here, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast. As always, feel free to leave your comments about the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or realm-maintenance.com. Realm-Maintenance.com is where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or the podcast directory that will help you find other Blizzard game podcasts. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, well, I tell you the name of the show that I'm interviewing, but I know someone who can do it a little bit better than I can.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
Until then, folks, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been the presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2016, and it's distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to the crew of Heroes Forge for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the community for your retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And as always, thanks for listening. It's the end of the show, and that means it's time once again for the roundup. This is an insanely quick rundown of every Blizzard podcast I'm aware of that's produced a show between June 5th and June 11th of 2016. For general Blizzard podcasts, we have All Things Azeroth, Battletag, Blizzard Watch, A Blue Recluse, The Battle.net News, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, Group Quest, Lagging Balls, The Sundering, and Torrent Think Tank. World of Warcraft shows include Adventures in Azeroth, Azeroth Roundtable, Balrez Bears, Behind the Avatar, Control at WoW, Dalaran Academy, Evangelism, Geeks of Azeroth, Girls Gone WoW, Horde for Life, Legend Style, Pwncast, Reigns of Azeroth, Saturday Morning WoW, The Starting Zone, Stopcast, Tankcast, and Shackle Fury, The Worgen's Howl, WoWhead Weekly, and World of Z's. Inside the Tavern, you can listen to Hearthstone shows such as 1600 Dusty, Angry Chicken, Brawl Coin, Conceived, Death Row Crew, Golden Wisp, Happy Hearthstone, Hearth of the Cards, Hearth Coach, Hero Power, Casty, Innervated, Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Never Legend, Top Deck Kings, Value Town, Velen's Chosen, Walk to Work, Well Met, and a Worthy Opponent. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, The Core Report, Heroes Forge, Heroes Radio, Heroes of the Storm Power Hour, Hots Cast, Into the Nexus, and Lords of the Storm. And finally, for Overwatch, we have The Cavalry, The Guardians, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, The Initiative, Omnic Fallout, Omnic Lab, Overcast, Overplay, The Overview, Overwatchers, Payload Podcast, Town Hall, Overwatch, and Watchpoint. For links to all of these shows and archives of this podcast, check out realm-maintenance.com.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears. Really?